Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Lozada, and on today's Friday Birthful Story, I'll be talking with Lauren Horton about her midwife-attended hospital birth. Lauren had a super easy pregnancy where she continued to do a mix of CrossFit, swimming, yoga, and tons of dog walking. Even so, the birth was pretty much the most challenging thing she's ever done in her life. Check out why she now concludes that everyone's a badass. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Simply Breastfeeding, a prenatal breastfeeding course to help nursing parents feel confident with their newborns. Learn more at birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code Birthful for 15% off. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Expectful, an evidence-based guided meditation app created specifically for those trying to conceive, pregnant, or new moms. Learn more and sign up for a free 2-week trial at expectful.com/birthful. The Birthful Podcast, talking to new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. Thanks always for all the love you give the show. And if you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And to best support this podcast, also support its sponsors, which in today's case are Simply Breastfeeding and Expectful. Also, if you want to truly prepare for the first few weeks with your newborn, go to birthfulcourses.com to sign up for my Thrive with Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes. These are postpartum preparation classes, so you do them before baby arrives in order to prepare. These are not childbirth education classes. It's for those first few weeks with newborn, and it's information you won't find anywhere else. So go to birthfulcourses.com to sign up. All right. On today's show, Lauren Horton is here to share her midwife-attended hospital birth. And when Lauren first reached out to me to share her story, saying she wanted to share the story, she had not given birth yet, but pregnancy had been delightful for her. So she wanted to make sure that people knew that pregnancies can go smoothly, as well as sort of pay it forward for all the podcast listening she'd been doing. I am so happy to have her here today to share how it all went, because she really, I could feel the difference between the person who first wrote me the email while she was pregnant and the person I spoke to afterwards after she was sharing her story. Lauren has now an immense appreciation for all birthing people everywhere, and she's going to tell us about it. Lauren, welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Very excited. Thank you for reaching out and wanting to share your story. And I realize I know nothing about your story. Well, I know one thing. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So I am 26 years old, and I was just married a short while ago. We were friends for a very, very long time. And that probably is why we were pregnant. We found out literally like a month after we got back from our honeymoon. I was like, oh my gosh, yep, I knew it. I knew something was different. And so we have a little wedding baby, and yeah, we've only been married for that, you know, that amount of time. And it's been absolutely amazing. And we've got a good story to share too. So I'm excited.
Oh, cool. Honeymoon baby. I love it.
Yeah, we all love it.
Yeah. So once you found out you were pregnant and you were embarking on this journey, what were your hopes and wishes? Like, what were your hopes and wishes? And then what did you do to prepare for that?
Yeah. So ever since I was little, you know, we didn't take any medicine. We were rubbing dirt in our wombs and, you know, staying outside. And we were that kind of like naturalistic family. And so having this birth experience planned out in my head, but then also listening to all these other people's experiences and knowing, okay, it might not go like plan A, so plan for plan B too. And so what I had in my head and what I wanted was the most natural way, including like my pregnancy. I didn't want to alter it and, you know, make these lifestyle changes and do all these things when, you know, I needed to be normal for the thing living inside me, or the blessing living inside me, rather. And so I wanted to truly make myself the best I could for the baby and what it needed. And then for the birth, I wanted it to be, again, as natural as possible. So in order to make that happen, I became very academic about, and not in like a studious manner, but I became very academic as far as I really looked into things. I listened to podcasts, which I came across yours, and I loved hearing stories. And people would always say, oh, every pregnancy is different, every baby's different. But fielding these stories from friends and family and from your podcast and others, and like looking to social media, and even my midwife was like, don't look it up. Don't look it up online. Like, you won't like what you see. Just, trust your gut. And I'd do it anyways. I'd continue to research things and just kind of really anything that was free and at my fingertips, because I'm also very frugal. Anything that I was able to get my hands on, I did. And even in these podcasts, when I'd hear names, I'd look them up and I'd watch the YouTube videos, or if somebody mentioned somebody's name and, oh, I loved her book, I'd go and I'd like listen to that. I'd listen to it if it was online, or a little snippet. And so yeah, that's just the best way I can say is that I was academic and I just became kind of obsessed with the journey. And I've always, wanted to be a little famous, so I did my Instagram thing and tried to at least keep a record of my trials and tribulations, because my mom didn't do the best job of that. I'd ask her for stories and she didn't necessarily say, oh, Lauren, when I was this much pregnant, this is what happened. She didn't give me any of that. So I wanted to at least have something where, when Zeta, my daughter, when she, looks back, hopefully the internet and social media is still there. She can be like, dang, mom, you were 9 months pregnant when you did that. Like, that's really cool. So yeah, I also kept track of my progress and tried to post as much as possible without being like annoying to my friends and family.
So you did a lot of absorbing of information, went right into it deep.
Oh yeah. Oh
Cool.
yeah.
Did you take any childbirth education classes, or was it just part of the books you were reading and things you were listening to?
So I did. My hospital, so the one that was here in town, I went to three childbirthing classes and then three breastfeeding classes. And they also had like a little fair, like anybody could come to it. I think they called it like a babython or a babathon, something like that. And I went to that, and there were a lot of vendors there and a lot of handouts and more information to absorb. And I just happened to be, because I do have a full-time job, so I just happened to be at the time in my career and like job where I could take the time to absorb all this, because sometimes people don't have time, they've got to work. So I was fortunate enough to just be able to balance that very well and continue to go to these classes. And I would hear a lot of the stories that you had or others being like, oh, my husband was so into it, he was also very academic. And mine was not, and maybe that's for later down on our story. But I did make him go to the babython, and I made him go to a couple of the classes, just in case Plan B had to come up. He had to know a little bit of something. So all he knew was, I know that whatever they ask me, I say no. Does she want an IV? No. Does she want this? No. So he said at game time he'd step up, and he
He
sure
was
did.
ready to advocate. That's awesome.
Yes.
So how did things start?
Okay, like from the very beginning, I can share. Okay,
Yeah. How did you know labor was happening?
so I actually it kind of took course over like a week. Like one, it was a Friday. It was at 41 weeks, or like right around 41. I just, I did kind of like the stories and all those things say, you just kind of know you. That crampy type feeling comes around and it's deep down in your gut. I was having the contractions and I knew from all these stories, okay, I need to start timing it. Let's time it and see if it stays consistent. Let's see how far apart they are. So I downloaded an app and I made sure to count them and keep them very, timely and consistent. And so it did. That Friday morning, they started and I called my mom. I was super excited and, hey, mom, it's starting. And she actually was like, okay, continue to time them, I'm gonna come. Well, I didn't have any more after like the first hour or two. So I was like, gosh, dang it. You
Wah,
know,
wah,
I,
wah.
yeah. So I was like, you know, Mom, did you leave? She's like, yeah, I did. I was like, okay, well, come, we can still, whatever. So then, you know, that kind of went away. So then the following week, I went to my appointment. She said, hey, do you want me to strip your membranes? My midwife said this.
So you are now at 42 weeks?
No, I was not at 42 weeks yet.
Or like near 42? Because you said this, so from what I gathered, the it was around 41 weeks that you started having those crampy feelings.
Yes, around 41. And so I went in, I told her, I was like, hey, I had these feelings. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe it was just me. You know, I've never had these before. So maybe they were it, maybe they weren't, you know, and she didn't know. And I didn't call her when they happened. So she was like, well, I can strip your membranes and we can see if we can get things going. And, you know, what also might help is having sex or intercourse later on, like, you know, if you're wanting to get things going, but there's no rush. So I was like, okay, you know, let's try it. And oh my gosh, that was so bad. And she, you know, and she kind of, I don't know if everybody knows what stripping the membranes is. I can explain. Do you want me to or no? Too
Please go
gory.
ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So she, I had no idea. Listening to podcasts, I knew kind of what to expect, but they made it seem so easy, and it just wasn't. She stuck her finger up there and, like went inside the cervix and yeah, like kind of switched her finger around and to separate right the sac near the cervix. I think I'm using the right words. Yeah, and she's like, you know, you might be a little bloody, you know, just so you know. And it's like, okay. She's like, yep, it'll just get things going. And gosh, that was excruciating. And she's like, Lauren, that was nothing. And I was like, okay, but that was bad because she kind of like, I don't know, it just shocked me. Like it was like I knew she was in there and was going to do something, but the like instant pain, I guess, or just the instant like shock like gave me an adrenaline rush and I was like kind of sweating and I was like, okay, well, I'm
Yeah.
ready. All right.
Yeah, and it can be quite jarring depending on like different people experience it in different ways, but you know, it's at that point your cervix is probably really far back and up, so even getting to it is quite the journey.
Yes,
But yeah.
yes. And she on my on one of my
Wait, before you go
Oh,
on.
go ahead.
I'm gonna stop you because we have to take a break, but when we come back, I want to know like if it worked. We'll be right back. Breastfeeding, it may be natural, but that sure does not mean it's easy. It's a learning process for both you and baby, and like most learning processes, it takes a lot of trial and error. However, this trial and error can sometimes come with a lot of crying, and not necessarily only from your baby. Help lessen the crying and frustration by arming yourself with some solid knowledge. A great way to prepare for this is by taking the Simply Breastfeeding online class created by breastfeeding experts Cindy and Jana. In their class, you'll learn to recognize what your baby is telling you and how to meet your baby's needs starting in the very first hour after birth. You'll also understand the basics of breastfeeding and be able to return to them if you encounter difficulties, and you'll feel confident knowing the answers to most frequently asked questions. Lessen your anxiety and frustration and relax knowing you've got this. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding to learn more. And as a Birthful listener, you get 15% off if you use the code Birthful when you register. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding or click the link on the show notes to get you on your way. And we're back talking with Lauren Horton about her birth story. So you just had your membrane swept, and that was not a fun process.
No.
What happened next?
So it worked. Oh
Aha.
yeah, it worked. So yeah, she did the membrane thing and I left and I remember, you know, she was like, you know, you might have a little bit of spotting and it's okay, and talked about the colors and if it changes and all that. And I went about my day and I'm trying to remember because my mucus plug hadn't come out, my water hadn't broke. I mean, nothing like that indicating usually that it is beginning had happened. But a few days later, my mucus plug did come out. I, you know, just went to the bathroom as normal. I wiped, nothing was there. I felt like, oh, okay, well, I'll keep going. And as soon as I put my pants on and like walked, was like, well, you just have that feeling like, something's in my underwear. Like the, like, oh my gosh, I started my period kind of feeling. Wiped again, and sure enough, there it is. And I snapped a picture and sent it to my sisters. And
Posted it on Instagram. No, I'm just joking.
no, I would have, although it is, my Instagram was public, so I figured I probably shouldn't do that. But I did. I showed anybody who was willing to look, and because my sister has been, she's had a baby before me, but I was the second one in our family, and I was so excited, so I was sending it to them, and so that happened 2 days before I gave birth, but just the day before I started my actual contractions, started actually having labor, like all that started, all that starting. So I can dive into that. Yeah, that was so that was on like September 1st. So on the 2nd, all the labor started happening. It was about 11 p.m. and actually, my husband and I had intercourse just before, because I had heard that'll start, and so it was the 2nd, so September 2nd. It was that night we had intercourse. We went to bed, and I felt like, okay, here's these contractions. They're coming back again. It was about 11 p.m. and I didn't wake up my husband, but I was like, okay, these aren't bad. I can do this. And they're about 10 minutes apart, and that's easy. So then it got to be like 12:30, and I woke up my husband. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't sit in bed and like lay. And we had a yoga ball. I researched all these methods, and I wanted to stay home as long as I could before I even went to the hospital. And so it's about 12:31. And I'm like, we need to walk. I need to get up. I need to go. So we start walking around our block. So it's about like a 400 meter, just a normal block. And so we're walking around. We literally walked until 3 a.m. I threw up probably 7 times in that 2 hours. I don't know if it was from the intensity of the pain, but I was definitely having contractions. I was timing them. Like, we weren't even talking. We were just walking around the block. And so I'm having these contractions, and they are lessening in time. So it went from like 10 to like, it really jumped to like 6 minutes apart. As I was walking, they were becoming like 4 and 3 minutes apart. And I was kind of getting excited, because I knew, okay, once these start getting lower, like I'm gonna start getting into labor. Like, I need to, this is awesome. I wonder how far dilated I am. And so around 4 a.m., we go to the hospital, and I do all the normal stuff. I get up to the room, and she was like, what are your pains? What are you feeling? Here, let's sit down, put this baby monitor on. And and immediately I was like, do I have to have this? And she was like, well, you're just coming in, like, let's check. And I was like, why don't you check me? Let me see how far dilated I am, and let's just, yes, make sure the baby's not in stress, but let's see. So she puts her hand up there, and she's like, oh, you're about 3. And you get so deflated, yeah, from 11 p.m. to 4, you're telling me I only got 3 centimeters, so I was a little deflated. And she wanted me to sit in that bed, and I was like, no, I am walking, and get my midwife here. I want my midwife, or at least get her on the phone, tell her that I'm here. And she's like, okay, well, why don't you walk around for 45 minutes? We'll see if you've made any progress. So I walk around. So now it's 5 a.m. She checks me, and she's like, you're at about a 3.5. I'm going to call your midwife and see what she wants. So I'm in the bed. She calls the midwife. The midwife says, I'm on my way. Have her walk around for, another hour or so, see if there's more progress. So I do. I walk around, and I was literally living by like the minutes and the seconds, and grabbing my stomach and holding it up and pushing it in. And so then it's about 5:30 a.m. They come in, and I'm about 4 centimeters dilated, and I'm just like, gosh, and I'm, oh, and just so you know, while I'm walking in the hospital, I'm throwing up like every 2 laps, throwing up. And excuse me. So it's about 6 a.m. now, and my midwife gets here, and she comes in. She's like, how you doing? And I was like, I'm not making any progress. She's like, Lauren, relax. Relax. If you want to walk around, you can. How about you lay down, and I'm going to check you out. So I'm like, okay. So it's 6 a.m. and she checks me out. She's like, you're at about 6 centimeters. What do you want to do? And I was like, oh, I'm at a 6. She's like, yeah. Or I'm sorry, this was now 8 a.m. I'm sorry, it was 8 a.m. and I'm at 6 centimeters. And she's like, "What do you want to do?" My water hadn't broken yet. And she's like, "We can break your water, which would go against you wanting to do things naturally. Do you want to do that?" And, my husband's like, "No." And I was like, "No, Jeff, I want this."
I
I was
love it.
like,
He's like, I this is my job. I know
yeah,
what I have
he
to do.
said
Say
no.
no.
Right.
Yeah, good for him.
I know. So he did, he tried and I was like, "Nope, do it." I was like, "Christy, I'm ready. I think I want this." And she's like, "Okay, it can make it more intense. It could possibly speed things up, but it will definitely make your contractions intense." And I said, "Okay, 8 a.m., 6 centimeters, let's do it." So she did. And just like everybody said, it is a warm gush. It was somewhat of a relief, but I'm going to tell you what, that next contraction was so bad, so intense. My mom was actually in the room, and she and my husband are looking at the little thing that tells you about your contractions, the pictograph, I don't know, the thing. And
Yeah, the
they're, you know,
monitor that it has, yeah, it shows the little
yes.
graphic of the
Yes.
intense of the contractions. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and they're just commentary the entire time. Like, whoa, like Lauren, this one's coming in, and they're not, I'm saying it with a smile, but they were definitely like not smiling at the time. And I will say I had all these plans of going in there with a open mind, and I wanted to use the ball, and I wanted to squat, and I wanted to do these things. But I actually just laid on the bed on my left side, and I grabbed onto the hospital bed like siding, held onto it. And I actually learned this from I forget her name, but she is a very famous doula. I think I learned her information from your podcast.
Ina Mae, no, doula, you said
Yeah,
Penny Sim,
nope.
oh,
Oh no,
midwife.
Ina Mae.
Ina Mae
Okay,
Gaskin, yep.
yep, that's her. She talked about somebody holding like a pole and like pulling themselves up and letting gravity kind of push and relax and open up the hips. So I was doing that, but just on my side, holding onto this thing, like literally lifting and like letting my lower half just totally go numb and just kind of open up and not trying to pay attention to that. And man, did it work, because at 10 a.m. she was like, "Lauren," she came in, she's like, "Lauren, you are 10 centimeters, like just like 9.75, like you are right there. If you flip over on your right side and let that last lip just kind of, a couple contractions there, we can start pushing." So I was tied to this bed and I wanted to be all natural and do all these things. Nope, I tied myself to this bed and it worked. I mean, I definitely opened up my hips. I could feel these contractions just widening my pelvic area. And so I did, I flipped over, I got that last couple, centimeters or whatever, the last couple. And she's like, "Lauren, you are at a 10. Let's do this. How do you want to?" And I'm like, "You mean I get to pick?" And I'm like, "What do I want to do?" I was going through all these things in my head as I'm, experiencing this pain. And she's like, "The next one's coming, just, hey, let's push." So I did, I gave it the old college try with my push, and I was totally underestimated how much I actually needed to push. So at that point I was, just the typical on my back kind of pushing. And she was like, "Okay, that is nothing." She was like, "You need to close your eyes. You need to, don't bear down, but, give me something else. I know you can do more." And at that point, I kind of just lost myself and completely turned on the like primal instinct of, okay, scream, grunt, not scream, but like a, I don't know, like a, I was like screaming in my body. And I know my teeth were showing, my tongue was out, that just that primal instinct of not necessarily like get this thing out of me, but I need to do this for the baby. And so I did a couple more pushes and I was like, "It's not working. Like, that's not what it is, And she was like, "Let's put this bar up." I was like, "Yep, I want to squat. I want to see if that works." So I then squatted. And I had been working out my entire pregnancy, so I knew that the squat would be comfortable for me. I could actually like squat, like just with not, without being, just flat-footed was fine. So I tried that. I had pushed, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, I can see the hair," and I could feel her head. I mean, I knew I was getting close, and I knew it was right there. And she's like, "Lauren, do you want to feel her hair or its hair?" We didn't know what it was. She was like, "All this hair, do you want to feel it?" And so I like felt down there and I was like, am I on the hair? Like there's just so much going on down there. I don't even know. So, I'm feeling the hair and, and she was like, Lauren, you got to keep pushing and keep trying. And so I did, and it just wasn't working. So we actually, she was a genius. She like grabbed one of the hospital sheets and put it around the bar. And she was like, hold this like you're sledding, like you're holding on to something. Put your feet up on the bar and let's get some leverage. Because like these girls that were holding my legs, her helpers, the nurses, one of them at one point was like, she's too strong. Like I was
It's all
trying to
that
push.
working out that you've been doing. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, she's too strong. And my husband was like, move, let me try. And he's trying to, get one leg and do this thing. And so finally she's like, put your feet on the bar. Duh. Like, let's hold this thing, get leverage. Let's do it that way. So I think I pushed once there and like I could feel progress. Like I knew that head was coming. And I pushed again. And the head came out and we like waited for the, contraction to come again. And I was kind of, I probably jumped the gun a little bit. And I was like, okay, like I'm ready, like come on. And I did it like a, and it was so long. And she came out. My midwife turned the shoulders and we had already knew that Jeff, my husband, actually like said that he wanted to be up by my head the whole time. But eventually I talked him into catching the baby. And so she like turned the shoulders and just made it to where he could slide in and he caught the baby and kind of sat there for a second. And the midwife, she goes, well, Jeff, what is it? And he's like, oh, and then he looks, it's a girl, oh my gosh. And he puts her on my chest and my mom's like, she's beautiful. And then my mom gets out the camera and I was like, Mom, like I wanted the video, the whole thing. And she's like, I didn't think you wanted that. So unfortunately I didn't get any video, but I do have like the ending moments of like me with the baby on the chest and all I'm doing, my legs are shaking. I could not, my legs didn't stop, shaking and like contracting, I guess, for literally like a day afterwards. So I'm just like, ooh, ooh, 'cause breathing was huge to me. Every contraction I was breathing and I was moaning. And it really helped see me through it. Jeff cut the cord and we named her and it was such a good experience. And I don't even think I mentioned that I was that I had a midwife at a hospital and that experience to me was natural. It was real and very beneficial in many different cases, in case something did happen, I felt safe, but I also felt like the midwife had my best interest at all times. I can vividly remember.
Oh, hold on. I do want to know more.
Okay,
I'm
sorry.
like, I don't want to interrupt. But I do want to hear of how having a midwife at the hospital was different and how like that
Yeah.
experience worked for you. But we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Mighty ones, want to know my solution for resetting my nervous system? It's meditation. But you might be asking, what is so great about resetting your nervous system? Well, if your nervous system spends more time in high alert and doesn't get back to a baseline often, then your body is in constant state of stress, which is, of course, not healthy. I have quite a bit of sustained stress in my life, and so I find that meditating is a super easy way to make sure I break up those stress signals. You may be thinking, that sounds great, but I have no time to meditate. The good news is that if you have 10 minutes, then you have time to meditate, and it becomes even easier when you use a meditation app like Expectful. I have tried other meditation apps, and I really like how the Expectful app is designed to fulfill your pregnant or new parent needs by focusing on whatever you need at that moment. Whether it's better sleep, connection with baby and partner, embracing your identity, lessening stress, dealing with uncertainty, Expectful makes it super easy for you. Plus, I really love the voice of the person who reads the meditations. Go to expectful.com/birthful to sign up for their free 2-week trial and check it out for yourself. Don't forget to add the slash birthful part so they know who sent you. And we're back talking to Lauren about her birth story, and she just had a baby. Her baby girl was just born. Yeah. So you were sharing how you know, after doing all figuring out what kind of support you wanted and what type of caregivers you wanted, you ended up having a midwife at the hospital, and that made a real difference, you think, in your experience. Tell us more about that.
Absolutely. So here in town, there were definitely a few options as far as hospital goes, and even just options within the hospital. So I did choose a hospital that had a midwife available. And actually, while I was in the process, they hired another midwife because of all the great stories that they have heard with this one currently. And they are really taking off with the whole, like, I think they are even calling it like a birthing center, and they've got a tub now. But when I was there, in my experience, I got to see my midwife every time I came in for a checkup. She was the one I saw. If I would have gone the other route, I would have had to, go through all the doctors and, or the OBs, I guess, and really not get to know them, but just skim the surface with each of them. And, whoever was on call would be the one who delivered. And I didn't want that. I did want the one-on-one. I wanted somebody that I could trust, because of the stories I had heard in my, academic research of pregnancy. I wanted to make sure that I had genuine care. I guess that's the best way to describe it, is genuine. And I in my story, I don't think I even mentioned that my midwife was not there the day that I gave birth. She was not there at the hospital when I came in. However, they did call her, and she did travel in to have me and to see my birthing, my vision, to see it play out. And
So she came in
it
just
was
for you.
just,
She wasn't on call.
nope, she was not on call. She came in just for me. She actually was going to start her round, like later on that night, I believe. So she definitely came in for me, and it made it so special. Even after I gave birth, I heard that they come back in and they chat for a little bit, but I mean, she came in every day that I was there, the 3 days that I had to be there, or I think it's two, I forget now, but she came every day. And I think one time we even talked for like 2 hours, and somebody paged her, and I was like, "Where are you?" She did great. And I wondered, did she just do this for me, or does she genuinely care for others? And I just had a friend recently that went through a similar experience with her, and yeah, she genuinely cares, and it was just great to run all these things by her, and no question was dumb. She had time for everything that I mean, there was a time where I thought I had worms from my dog, from my little puppy. I mean, I came in with all kinds of stories, like, that I looked up online, and she was like, "You gotta stop Googling these things." She's like, "You can't ask Siri everything." But I mean, it was great. And there was actually at times, and like I said, I vividly remember being in the hospital bed, laboring, and it was getting towards the end, and I had been throwing up. I mean, constantly throwing up and going to the bathroom, and they might have been worried about my fluids, but she knew that I don't know, I've been an athlete my whole life, so I knew she knew that I was like mentally strong, but also like physically capable of the endurance that it needed. And I was also like force my mom was force feeding me the ice chips and whatnot. But there was a nurse that came in and had like was like, "Hey, I need to give you an IV," and and I remember her being like, "No, stop, like stop, she is fine. This is working, like we're fine." I mean, she advocated for me on at least two occasions that I can remember, where they were trying to do the typical, I guess, hospital thing,
Your
and
protocol.
right, and she was like, "Hey, we're good. The baby's not in stress. She's not in stress." And she knew how important that was to me, at times where I couldn't, necessarily. And they, I just, I think they did a She did a great job of keeping them away from those kinds of things that I was keeping close to me, as far as, not wanting to do anything extra, and then just letting my husband catch the baby. And I had so many questions about the placenta, and I wanted to keep it, and so she fielded all my silly questions, and got And even birthing the placenta was interesting.
And I want you to tell me about that. But first, it does sound like your midwife was, and it's something I appreciate from any care provider. She was looking at you and considering your specific situation. Because when you were telling your story earlier and you were saying that you were throwing up and throwing up and throwing up and constantly throwing up, one of my, like in the back of my mind, I had a question. I was going to say, did you get IV fluids? Like, was that a concern? What? Because all that throwing up can make you feel like crap and sort of sap your energy, and being dehydrated can, alter the contractions, make them more crampy or make them too strong or make them. So it is something to like pay attention to. But obviously, she was clearly looking at you and seeing that even though you were throwing up, your mom's feeding you ice chips and you have all this endurance, and it's not like you're throwing up, but she wasn't seeing signs of dehydration. Right? So she wasn't just going like, she's throwing up, we have to give IVs. But it was more like, well, do we need to give this IV? Are there signs of dehydration? And I mean, I'm guessing you didn't have any because she was like, she's fine.
When I think of, okay, what does dehydration look like? I mean, I was so sweaty. I mean, and I was completely naked the entire laboring experience, if anybody wanted to know. But yeah, I think she knew that. I mean, even while I was laboring at home, like I knew that I would, once I got to the hospital, things might be different. So I continued to hydrate, and I did have like Powerade and stuff in my bag. And she knew that I had prepared. And, because we created that connection and that like trust in each other, she knew that, I could power through. And I think also she knew how strong I was and that I was capable of. And the baby and just the entire pregnancy was pretty good. No complications, so I know the risk was much lower, and it worked out.
Exactly. You had that connection, and she knew. She was looking at you and considering you specifically, right? And it's great when you have a provider that does that.
And she was very, like in her questioning, like during our checkups, like there was never a time where she didn't have something to ask or something that she was. So it kind of like maybe she was collecting all this information, the entire 9 months, not giving me all, like giving me a test the first day. She was kind of collecting tidbits of information throughout our checkups, And so, yeah, I'm going to not even assume. I think that's what she was doing, was getting to know me without me being like, okay, do you know me? I think she took care of it in a way of that was genuine and just honest, and she knew the answers because she had been, collecting them for so long.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I like I said before, I do want to hear about the placenta, but before that, two little questions. How big was your baby?
Oh gosh, 8 pounds, 11 ounces, 21 inches long.
So, big baby.
Big
Biggish,
baby.
biggish baby. Yeah.
Yeah, I know I've heard of bigger. I think I was even bigger, but I have a huge head, so that was like my number one fear, that this baby was gonna rip me entirely. And she did. I not like I think it was isn't like four really bad, a 4 degree tear. Is that? So I think I had like a one or a two. I kept she kept like she was stitching me up after after we were all done. And actually, up top on the ceiling, I remember looking in the light thing. Like there was like a reflection, so I could literally see her, which I didn't see that when I was giving birth, but I saw it when she was giving me stitches. I could see her like stitching me up, and I was like, "Christy, how many stitches are you giving me?" And she was like, "Just a few more, just a few more." And I was like, "Ah,"
So,
but.
and I do want to explain that just because it's something that it sounds confusing.
Oh,
And
yeah, go ahead.
yeah, because the first, second, third, fourth degree, it has nothing to do with the length of the tear. It has all to do with the deepness. So a first degree tear is only skin, a second degree goes deeper, and like fourth degree is so bad because it goes into the muscle and can sometimes create an opening between like the vagina and the anus,
Oh,
right?
got
And
it.
create like complications of like, I know that just made me cringe too, just saying that.
My stomach.
Right. But so a first to second degree, they can be long or they can be in several different places, or they can, and they don't necessarily put in a bunch of stitches. It's just the one running one. But if it, she took a long time stitching it and you were like, how much longer? It sounds like it was a longer tear. It was just more superficial, which makes it, that's what makes it the first, second degree.
Ah, okay. I get that. And I, you know, it's silly. I'm sure people listening could be like, why didn't you just look? But I was terrified. I was so terrified to see what it looked like. And I even at some point asked my husband, I was like, hey, I'm really sorry, but can you look at my stitches? Like, I don't know. And he's like, Lauren, I have seen so much of you. Like, you're really embarrassed about me looking at your stitched up area. Like, come on. But it was, you know, it ended up being fine. But yeah, I wish, I don't know how many, and I don't know how long, or I don't know any of that, but she did take, I don't even know how long it takes to do stitches, but I felt like it was a lot and I could feel it, you know, it was the pain wasn't that bad, but I could definitely feel her doing that. And I could see it too. Maybe that's what made it so horrifying.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things that after all that work and having had, you know, you do have the sensation of the contractions and that intensity, but that's wave-like. It comes, you know, it's coming. Whereas when they're stitching you up, not only is that area super sensitive because, well, a baby just went through, but you don't know when that sharpness is coming or that pull, because they do the Novocaine and numb it out. But yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember her asking, do you need more? I was like, yeah, probably. And she's like, okay, well, we'll see. You know, we'll go. She knew I was strong and I was just being a baby.
Well, you know, at that point you want to be done.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point, was your baby like come right to your chest and was skin to skin and just hanging out there?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was the one thing I also wanted, was the skin to skin. I didn't want them. And one of the nurses actually tried to like hurry along the baby finding the nipple. And, actually my husband was the one that stepped up to the plate, you know, no, he said, you know, no, thanks. We're going to let her do it on her own. Cause she was like, do you want me to help her? Do you want me to help baby show, you know, do you want me to show her the way? And my husband was like, no, we're going to let her do it. And, you know, I was going to say it, I was coherent, I was fine, but he said it. And I think he really felt, I don't know, like distinguished and established as a father at that moment, like, no, get away. You know, this is what we want and this is what she's going to do. And yeah, I mean, that baby took her darn time getting there, but she definitely found it. And it worked out fine. Breastfeeding in general was great, but it was a rocky start. It's just, you know, when the milk comes in, a lot of things happened and you really have to be like mentally strong and, you know, you have to kind of get over yourself physically and ego wise. But, baby found her way and, she latched on great. And the whole like laying down and nursing on your side was a lifesaver. Cause again, my legs were shaking and they wouldn't even go straight. Like they were literally shaking and contracted in the bent position for at least like 6 hours.
And you did exert your legs quite a bit because basically you were walking the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Since midnight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, baby found her way.
Cool. So the placenta, how did you find, like, how was the delivery and looking at it and all of that?
Loved it. I thought this placenta was, I thought it was really big. I thought it was really heavy. You know, these are the things that I thought. It does look huge. I mean, when she, well, first of all, just giving birth to it, you know, do they call that the fourth trimester? Or no, what do they call that? The third stage,
yeah,
yes. Yeah. And they say, you know, that's when you find relief. And they are right. Whoever they is, they are so right. You know, because when you give birth to the baby, it's the baby's on you now. And you feel like, you know, sometimes when, I don't know if this is too graphic, I'm sorry, but when
there is no too graphic.
Okay. when like a tampon is like not inserted correctly or like the string, you can like kind of feel the string hanging out. it felt like that times 10, right? Like the cord hanging out. And, so I knew that was in there, and I knew that was going to be the next thing. And, so she's, kind of talking me through it and pushing on my stomach. And when that came out, and that just kind of like, I don't think she tugged on it. I don't really remember pushing too hard. Like, I do think it was a pretty easy delivery. But when it came out, oh my gosh, it felt so good. Like, it just felt so good coming out. And when that was done, it literally, okay, like, it was finished, it was completed. I looked at it and I was like, Christy, is that like 3 or 5 pounds? Like, how much? And she's like, no, it's probably like a pound. I was like, that's it? Like, that thing is huge. And it felt weird, and it was so neat. And I kept asking her if I could keep it. And she's like, what are you gonna do with it? And I've heard of people making smoothies and or like the capsules, and we talked about it, but I ended up not taking it. But she was willing to do what I wanted to do with it, but I ended up not doing anything.
Did you take any pictures at least?
Oh, no. See,
Oh.
I know. My mom felt like she was intruding just being in there. So she,
Yeah.
only took a pic or only took a video at the end, and then like took a couple of videos, but or a couple of pictures, but was like trying not to get my breast in the picture. And so she, after we gave birth and after the I think she kind of left soon after because she wanted to just be Jeff and I, my husband and I. And so she kind of left, and Jeff is zero. I mean, he's on his phone except for when you need him to be, when he needs to take a picture. So there was no pictures of the placenta, but I wish I would have, because yeah, it was a weird thing. It's just,
It's
I don't
very
know.
unique. Yeah.
It is. I
Yeah.
can't even explain it because it's just so different.
It's enormously blobby, right? And it's not that thick necessarily, like a couple of inch or so, but it can be dinner plate size. And they're all different, but dinner plate size. Yeah.
Right. Like, it looked large and, like you said, blobby and kind of like not. I guess I was thinking it was like going to be like flubber. You know that movie, the green ball of goo. Like, I thought it was going to look something like that, but nonetheless, it was still interesting, and I loved looking and touching and talking about it.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah, and I'm a big placenta freak because I think they're the coolest things that you just grew this whole organ just for this purpose. Like, how amazing is that?
It's amazing that my body and this baby know what to do. That's honestly, that is like the one thing that still like just amazes me, is that this baby knew how to come out, and my body knew that it needed to, and my body and the baby knew to come and eat off my breast and to survive and to breathe, and just it amazes me. We are powerful.
Absolutely. Yes, and it's such a powerful experience to just be part of that, right? However it happens, it is remarkable bringing life into this world. So, Lauren, what was different than what you expected?
Ooh, good question. Kind of what I alluded to before. Yes, I walked around a ton. I mean, as far as like hours go, but in the midst of like the most painful contractions, I was in a bed. I was doing the one thing that I kind of didn't want to do, and what I thought I would never do is like, oh, I don't want to be on this bed. I want to be up and moving. Or, people talk about a tub or a hot shower, and you're on this yoga ball, and I wanted to do all that. But to be honest, staying on my side and like lifting myself off the bed and kind of like humping the bed in a sense, and like moaning and breathing and closing my eyes. I mean, I don't think I opened my eyes from like the minute I was like 4 centimeters to beyond, but I mean, that felt right. And when it was okay. When people say, oh, plan A won't always happen, I think sometimes that doesn't always have to result in like a, oh, I had to get a cesarean, or oh, the birth was different. Maybe it's just the labor wasn't what I thought. I mean, I knew it was going to be tough. I knew it was going to be hard. I knew it was going to be painful, but I guess I didn't know to what degree. And that's always the question, how painful is this? And it's hard to explain, but And even in some cases, like our mind kind of blocks that experience out, the pain. Like I still can't tell you what it felt like, only because it was so excruciating. And I think my body does say, but you did it, so what does it matter? And
Well, and
I
I think
honestly.
it's also it's so remarkable that once baby is out, it's all gone.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, there were no lasting effects other than I did have hemorrhoids like really bad. And I would say because I remember trying to push with my like vagina, and I don't know if you can even do that. I really, instead of like using my core and my like gut, and like I do think I just like literally would bear down with my full pelvic and like anal floor. I don't know if there's an anal floor, but I was pushing, and I literally have had hemorrhoids since then. They're almost gone, but I didn't expect that because I didn't have them during pregnancy. So I didn't expect that. I didn't let's see. I didn't expect throwing up. I don't think I had heard stories of people vomiting. But gee whiz, I did it quite a few times. Actually, my husband bought me like new shoes for like a pushing gift, and I threw up all over those during the walk around the block. So, and I never cleaned it up. That sounds really nasty, but even to this day, there's still like some. So yeah, it's pretty gross.
Those are
But
your special shoes.
I would say those are the things that I didn't expect that did happen. You hear stories of people having them on the side of the road, or think it being easy, or being a breeze. And I thought I'd be one of those, and I kind of expected not to be, but I wanted to be. And honestly, it went the way it did, and the entire process was like, I almost kind of had this mindset, and even my husband, of like, because I my husband was like, you never even asked for like the epidural and whatever. And honestly, anybody is a badass. Any mother that is pushing out this child, no matter your delivery, you are a trooper. I mean, there is recovery, there is pain, there is all a whole slew of things that have to take place. And just because I went all natural doesn't mean I'm the only badass. And I definitely, because I had somebody like, oh, you're so hardcore, I can't believe it. And I was like, whether this was a 11-hour labor, or whether it was a 2-hour labor, there is pain maybe, or there's at least side effects that do happen. And and my whole mindset was just kind of, yes, there's going to be these things that can make it easier or faster or whatever, but if I can put in my mind that it may not be what's best for the baby or even what's best for me, then I can do it, and I can overcome it because pain will subside. And I don't know, I just had this mantra of like, this is the way I want it done. So I just, there is no other way. This is the way, and I can do it, and I can push myself through it. And this is instinct. Millions and billions of women have done this. I can do it too. And it's so empowering. And I'm going off topic a little bit, but
Oh no, I love everything you're saying. Yeah.
There was a young lady who was also pregnant with me, one of my friends, and she was like, "You are such a badass. You did that all natural." And she did not, and she felt so bad. And I was like, "Why? You still have to recover. You still have to take care of this baby. You still have to do all these things. Do not be upset in the way you gave birth and the way you did it, because you're a badass too. We are so powerful as as females. We just And our babies are smart. They know how to survive, and our body knows how to rebuild and rebound. And it's good. It's good stuff.
It is good. I love all that you said. And it is. It doesn't matter how, because the how a baby is born, yes, it's important and it's an issue and we try to prepare for it and do it, but we can't control it. But that's really just the top layer of the situation. What it really is, it's this enormous transformative event. And everybody has to do that part, no matter how babies, how the baby gets earthside. So, like you were saying, there's recovery, there's so much to, there's integration, there's, processing your story, there's, oh, yeah, everybody's a badass.
And I love that. Yeah, the whole, like you said, the process and the integrating, being a mom is tough work, whether you've got a full-time job, a part-time job, whether you stay at home. I mean, it is just being a mother. It's been quite the experience for me. And I am like, I don't know. I kind of feel like I've grown to be a softie now, but
Well, I was
it's
gonna
a,
ask you, tell me, like, how did this experience change you?
completely. And I'm still changing. I actually just talked to this mom group that I've got on Marco Polo. I asked them this morning, after we give birth, do we just inherently become little softies? Like, is this, 'cause I used to be, at least I think, this badass, nothing could break me. And I'm very deep in my career. I'm a full-time collegiate volleyball coach. So it's a really fun career, and I love it. But there's a lot of recruiting and phone calls, and got to be in the office. And I already have 20 children of my own, and they're all the age of 17 to 22. So I do have, I do have this, I don't know, this perception of, okay, but I've got this child, and I want to do the right thing here. I want to do everything again naturally and holistically. So I'm breastfeeding and I'm pumping. Actually, before you and I called or talked, I was pumping and cleaning the equipment and all the time that that takes in general, just that. Wow. I mean, that's hours in a day set aside for when you're away from your child. And then, so that has changed me, and I have become very, I don't know, like anxious and worried that I can be the best mother, but also be the best, career woman and the best coach and the best mentor to these, young ladies that are on my team. And at the same time, be a great wife, be a great mom. And then the social norms say that I need to cook clean and make some money. And, so there's so many things on our plate as mothers and women, that I've become like obsessed with being perfect. And I'm not perfect. So because I'm not perfect, that is really what has blown my mind. Everything usually comes easy. Pregnancy was easy, childbirth. She came out and she was so precious and so, just perfect that, I just assumed that, after birth and this time right now would be easy and perfect, and it's not. But we've got to be mentally tough. I think I thought I had a lot of mental toughness and I thought I was strong, but I don't know, just having a child is, it makes you very appreciative of a lot of things, but it also can question, a lot of things too, like how selfish I used to be, and as a mother and a parent, I feel like you just can't be selfish anymore.
Are you giving yourself some grace? Because I'm hearing a lot of like perfectionism here, and our, like you said, culturally, our society has was like we should do all these things, and I don't think we should. I think because that's just unrealistic expectations, as you say. It's really super hard. We're supposed to do more of a village thing, like help each other out, and it's okay. I think the superwoman thing is a trap.
You're right. You're so right.
So like give yourself some grace. Lower that bar. You're still a badass.
Yeah, you're right. And at times I want to give myself grace, but at other times, I don't know. I'm just like, too bad. I don't know. Yeah, I'm probably hard on myself, but I'm also very competitive. So, I want to be the mom that bounces back. I want to be the college coach who had a winning season and had a baby, and I want all those things for myself. But then, and that's the selfish things, right? But then also I know, and like you said, that's a trap, because if I think that that is success, then I am dead wrong, because I will not become successful if those things are, if that's my ideal, It's yes, I do now. I'm realizing that success sometimes is just pumping enough to, have my baby eat the next day. That is success, and I am so proud when I make those days happen.
Indeed, that is success. And
Yes,
it's a
yes.
long-term game. I mean, you have to that endurance that you were talking about. We're not talking about the first month or the second month or, this is for life. You've got to be
Yes.
there as an available and connected parent forever.
Yep.
So, it's hugely important not to burn yourself out and that requires sometimes doing less.
Yeah, you're right. I think actually in one of your podcasts before, you even mentioned like taking a rest, and you just had a child. It was in another birth story, and you mentioned, why are you up and walking around? Like, why are you doing these things and really trying to take the time to, recover? And I think, I went back to my job probably a little too early, but now I am finally realizing I didn't get to recover or spend that time quite how I wanted to. So now it's like, okay, slow down. Pumping is great. That's my success and days when I can eat and take a full meal and, all these things. And I am finding little successes in my days. And I think that's what's kind of carrying me through. And when, baby rolls over and those kinds of things, the milestones will also be the successes that come next.
Yeah, and know that this isn't forever. I mean, right now, you can see the difference already from where your baby is today as where she was when she first came out. The level of dependency slowly, very slowly, goes away. And then you will regain a lot more independence and a lot less needing. And then she'll be taking care of you. And I'm not talking like when you're old and gray, but, when. What even when she gets older and able to do more things for herself. So I
Yes.
think it's important to keep in mind that this is not, of course, think life is not life as usual. You just had a baby. Your body grew organs and increased
Yeah.
its fluid level, its blood level 50%, like enormous stuff that you need to recover from. So giving
Yes.
it its time is important in the sense of your recovery later on. And that's that. This is your new normal for now. But
Ah,
it's
I
not
like
gonna
that.
be like it's always changing. She's always changing. You will change too. Yeah.
I really like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's for now. It does. I know when you're in it seems all consuming.
Oh yeah, it's like a hyperbole, just this over-exaggerated, like, what? Oh, what's going on? It's all crashing on me, and you're right, it's not.
It's okay. You can be on the
Yep.
sidelines for a little bit. It's
Yes, and that's where I hate being.
all right. I know. I can hear it. That's why I'm like, but give yourself grace, Lauren. Hold
Yes, I
up.
will.
Yeah, good. Think I love your story. Thanks so much for coming on the show to share it. That was really beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and I'm glad that I got to share it.
Mighty ones, check out the in-depth show notes for this episode at birthful.com, where you can learn more about me, the show, Patreon member benefits, send me messages, and more. I'm also on Facebook or Twitter as @birthful, so do come say hi. And if you're in the last month of pregnancy and feeling unprepared for going home with a new baby, yes, you will go home with a new baby. Go register for my Thrive with Your Newborn online postpartum preparation classes at birthfulcourses.com so you can get ready and even enjoy those first few weeks instead of just survive. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, the Birthful Patreon supporters, and by the wonderful people at Simply Breastfeeding and Expectful. The title song for this podcast is Vive Ace by Kevin MacLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Also, the Birthful Podcast is part of the Parents on Demand Network. Learn more at parentsondemand.com. I'm Adriana Losada. Please join me Wednesday when I'll be talking to another maternity pro to inform your intuition here at the Birthful Podcast. Thanks so very much for listening.